broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace, about loud. Amid lies we seek truth. Amid truth we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Goodness knows that silence will not protect you. Good evening to everybody, and la-di-da-di, everybody, Shabbat Shalom, and good morning to some, and afternoon to others. Give a hearty hello out there to you guys. Welcome here to Leander Grace Out Loud, tonight's episode of Scriptures and Scuttlebutts. It's March 19th, 2021, and we are broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert. We're finishing our fifth week on this platform, guys. I'm real excited to be doing that. We're continuing to grow, and it's good to see. It's good to see. And it is a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about this business of the one thing. The Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. Guys, people are waking up to scriptural truth, to political truth, to the real truth of things. Oh, and as we diligently contend for the faith, Holy Spirit stands waiting to be invited. Make no mistake, folks, and do not be deceived. The harlot's in the house and the thief is at the door. We can't win the battle alone, folks. We're not in a battle, but make no mistake, we are at war. It is Ephesians 6:12 time, guys. And I want to tell you, we're going to bring in some scriptures today. Tonight's topic, we're going to be talking about the real sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, the real ones. What's really went on during the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. I know we're going to be, usually, you know, I do the little storytelling thing, and we'll have some of that as well. When I tell it to my friends and my neighbors, they call me a super spreader of the gospel now, which not a bad title to have. I think I like it quite a bit. So having that super spreader title, I guess I need to mask. I'm not totally unmasked, and I guess that's why I can spread it so far and so wide. But things being as they are, tonight I went ahead and brought the scriptures up so I could go ahead and do some notable quotables, because there seems to be a great deal of confusion around the whole thing of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I told you that Friday we would talk about sin, and we're going to be talking about the real sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what we're going to talk about. So hold on to your buckets and buckle up your seat belts and make sure that your tray tables are in the upright and locked position. Go ahead and take care of them seat backs. Recline them and get a cold drink. That's how we do that, right? Recline it and get a cold drink. Because we are going to talk. I think we're going to actually have a two-hour broadcast this evening, folks. I think it's going to be something you're going to – something. I'll tell you what, when I came across this, when I started learning this, I was amazed. And it made a lot more sense than some of the things that I was taught growing up with our limited amount of text that was available to us in the King James Version. It's enough to get to salvation, but there are some questions that we've always had about some things, and maybe we can answer some of those things this evening. Because remember, we've said before on the program with the Berean attitude, right? We have to search the scriptures daily. We've also said, let me get a drink. We say that several times an episode, but you know, we've also said that we cannot assume something to be true when the text doesn't say it. So we cannot infer from an absence of statement, right? And so all of those things keep in mind as we delve into the scriptures, because it's not all going to tickle ears, but I do think that there'll be a lot of sighs of relief, and I think we'll be able to bring up some parallels, some big time parallels from maybe then and now. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, but I'm over here on this other one trying to make sure I get everything together for you guys when we go forward. So the scriptures that we're going to look at tonight is going to be in the King James, or actually in your the canonized text, the publicly canonized text. King James would be Genesis 13, And we're going to go 13 and 14, and we're going to be jumping around. Anyway, there's a lot of Genesis 13 through 18 basically is the whole bunch of the story. And in the book of Joshua, we're going to be covering Joshua chapter 18, and we're going to see where the two intersect. Because it's kind of cool. So that all starts right after the covenant of the covenant of circumcision that was given to Yahweh by to Abraham by Yahweh. And so, and he's sitting in his tent and he's recuperating, right? So that's where we're going to start that story. Now, we've talked in the past, guys, we've talked in the past about shall we continue everyone doing what is right in his own eyes. We also talked about Purim, and I suggest that, you know, God don't play dice because he's going to win. In Pesach, we talked about the different focus on Pesach rather than on Passover versus the Feast of Easter. We went all through Exodus and what happened, what it was like and what it's like now. And then last week, we talked a little bit about, you know what, I'm talking, and last week, we can't remember what we talked about. So last week, yeah, we talked about the different things, the balancing of the debt and the things of that. So this week, what we'll be speaking about is the real truth, the complete story, or a further in-depth story of what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah during that time. So before we get started, guys, I do want to go ahead and lead us in prayer, because we are going to bring in an what some folks consider an extra biblical text, but it is mentioned twice as a witness, both in Joshua and in the book of 1 Samuel. The book of Joshua is mentioned as a reference to back up the things that are in both Joshua and in the first book of Samuel. We started off and say, but isn't that written in the book of Joshua? So, and that's the authority that we're taking. We're taking the authority of the King James scriptures to accept this scripture as canonical and do the comparison analysis. And I'm going to take it, bring it to you guys, and you tell me what you think. So let's go ahead and take a moment of word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you now knowing that you know all things and can do all things, Father. And you say that when two or more gather together in your name, that you will be in the midst. Father, I'm putting out a truth here you gave to me, and it's not always going to be an easy truth for folks to hear. So, Father, I pray that you bless my mouth and bless my heart and keep the words where they need to be into your will, and that nothing that is of your will comes out of my mouth, that it doesn't just stumble and fall out of the ears of the people and it doesn't affect them. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity to bring this piece of information to the Ecclesia, and I pray that you bless it for the nourishment that it's intended to be, and I lift it up in your name, in the name of Jesus, HaMashiach Nagin, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, guys, let's go forward. We've looked at Genesis here all the way back in Abraham, and it is right after, let me get a drink, it is right after the he's the blood covenant. So let me get up here in 13, and I'm doing some scrolling as I do this. All right, so in 13, chapter 13, let me get there. Be patient with me. Thank you very much. What happened in Genesis 13 is, you know, Lot and Abraham were hanging out together. And everything was really cool, right? They came out of the land of Ur together. The thing is that Lot chose a place, but then he outgrew it. And so what Abraham said is, you know, Lot, you're causing problems. You're not being real respectful, and you're causing problems with the folks here for me, and I have to pick up your mess. Basically, I'm paraphrasing it here. So how about you pick another land? You need to move away from us because of your size and my size, we're running into each other here. So he chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And then what happens is here in the scriptures, 13:13, Genesis 13:13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now that's capitalized, so that's Yahweh Elohim. And Yahweh Elohim says to Abraham, after that lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look for the place where thou art northward and southward, right? So he's showing him all the land and giving him all the promises. Now, a little bit later on, it came to pass. Now we're going to come on up to chapter 14, Genesis 14. Genesis 14:1. And for those of you who want to follow along, there's BibleGateway.com. You can follow along quickly online or open up your scriptures yourself or any other method that you have to follow me. So in Genesis 14, we're skipping forward. It says, and it came to pass in the days of Amraphael, king of Shinar. Now that same Amraphael is also known as Nimrod. It's the same person, Amraphael, king of Shinar. And there was Arioch, king of Elasar, and Kel-Dalamer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of nations. So he had a couple of them, right? The king of nations. Now, they made war with Bera, who was the king of Sodom, and Birsher, the king of Gomorrah, and also with then Shinab, king of Adam, and all of these kings. So they went to war. Well, the thing is that his nephew Lot got carried off. Right? So he and his men, Abraham and his men, went and they basically took everything back and the women and children. And the king of Sodom says to Abraham, he says, hey, you know, Abraham, thank you for all the stuff. I mean, he did it to rescue his nephew, right? So the king of Sodom says, thank you for helping us. Take anything that you want of what we've got. Now, I want folks to hear this. This is very wise of Abraham, very wise indeed. He already knew that the men of Sodom were wicked. So he's saying out here, you know, take any of the spoils that you want. He says, you know what? No, except for the folks that came with me, they can have some. And except for a little bit of food and this and that, I'm not going to take even a shoelace from the spoils, lest you, sir, you make the claim that you enriched me. He said, no, I'm not taking anything from you because you're going to say you enriched me. It's a trap. God told him what to do. He did the right thing. God's going to take care of him. And that's what he said. He said, No, I committed myself to God, so I'm not taking anything, nothing. And so he was not indebted to them at all. So, and then of course he went, the Melchizedek comes up, but we're not speaking about that today. So all of this comes about, right? This whole rigmarole goes on. And then time passes. Lot settled in where he settled in. He was rescued from the big bad, you know, invaders of Sodom. And he settled in quite nicely. But when we get to chapter 18 in Genesis, and let's see, when does this start in 18? That's 16. 18:16. It says, and the men rose up from thence and looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with him to bring them on the way. So what had happened was, after he was sitting by his tent, Abraham was, he was sitting by his tent after the covenant of circumcision, and he was mending, he was healing from the wound. And the men came by, and he ran quickly and made him a non-kosher meal. I thought I'd throw that in there. The meat was not completely done, and it was served with butter. I just thought I'd, and milk, I thought I'd throw that in there just because I think it's fun, right? So, and all of a sudden, the men sit up and they rose and they went to Sodom and they just went away. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? So all of a sudden, the angels that were sitting there with Abraham bringing the good news, you know, of Sarah going to be having a baby and all of this stuff. And all of a sudden they get up, they turn towards Sodom Gomorrah and said, see ya, we got business. And just boom, just like that. And then, you know, the Lord's like, well, I better let Abraham know what I'm going to do. He's my friend. Right? They're friends. Abraham was God's friend. He wasn't just his servant. He was his friend. And he says, you know, Abraham's going to become a great nation and all the nations shall be blessed in him. He's going to command all this. And so the Lord said, because the cry, you know, he says, how is this going to happen? He goes, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great. And because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they've done altogether according to the cry of it, which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And so then the men turned their faces and they went to Sodom, right? He was going to check it out through the angels. But Abraham stood right there before the Lord. He stood before the Lord, for Yahweh Elohim. Peradventure, he says, he goes, if there's going to be 50 righteous in the city, because why he's thinking of his, he's already thinking of his nephew. He gets lots there. What if there's 5 righteous? You know, he says, is there 50? Is there 30? And God's like, no, not if there's 50. I won't destroy the whole city if it's 50. He says, well, what if there's like 10? What? He goes, even if there's 5 righteous, I won't destroy the city. Just, you know, calm down. It's okay. So we went in to check it out. Let me clear my throat. And then that's where we see where the rest of the story comes in that might be a little bit misunderstood. All right. So the angels are on the way, and Abraham made sure that Lot was taken care of, right? And the angels went, and they had to get Lot out of the city because he just told Abraham he wasn't going to blow it up with good people in, so he had to get the good people out, meaning Lot. So he sent the angels there to rescue him, and there came 2 angels here at Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom. And now we're at Genesis 19. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you can rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, no, but we're going to be in the street all night. Remember, these are angels of the Lord. They already know what's going on. That's why they're there. They got called to go there. They were dun, 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 and please go, right? So he says, and he pressed them on greatly, and then he says, no, don't, right? He's really urging them. So they did. They went into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. Let me clear my throat. A little bit more than a tickle. And so they ate. And this is when the men of the city came in, right? This is where the men of the city came in. And this is where we'll pick up on the other side of the break. Now, guys, I got a little tickle in my throat, so I'm going to break a little bit early to take care of that so I don't have to bother you with all the coughing and the coughing. And I do want to welcome Prophet Emmanuel Kofi Oduro into the chat room. I want to say hello to you and good evening. We are going to go to break really quickly, and then we'll be back to talk about the rest of this. I am your host, Leanna Grace, you know, and The God of the City, one of my favorite songs. Every time I get frustrated with things as they are, because, you know, I'm an impatient human and I think I can run it, right? Then I just have to remember who really runs it. And it's not me, and it's not thee, if you're listening to this broadcast with human ears. And we have to remember who it is that's in charge. And we're about to get to the meat of the story. We're about to change texts and go from Genesis to Joshua 18 and see what really went on in Sodom and Gomorrah and why Lot was so urgent about him taking shelter indoors. It may not be what we were led to believe. It may not be what we have come to believe through absence of text. I am your host, Leanna Grace, broadcasting live from the high mountain desert, God of the City. We'll be back on the other side.
Greater things are still to be done in this city. You're the god of this city. You're the king of these people. You're the lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are.
Lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. No, not even for a minute will the silence be protection. We gotta talk. We gotta talk to God. We gotta get on our knees and give it to Him. And get to the bottom of whatever it is. And whatever it is we're bringing tonight, guys, is we're talking about the real sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you say, well, Leanna Grace, why is it that it's so important to realize the real sin of Sodom and Gomorrah? And I'm going to tell you, because we may be pointing north, but I don't think we're pointing true north on this, on what the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was. Remember, in Genesis, what Yahweh Elohim said himself, he said, they are wicked. The men of Sodom are wicked. Now, with our contemporary limited mind, now I grew up, I was going to church camps and that kind of age thing in the 70s. That's my age group. Don't laugh. That's just the way that is. And we always thought it was because there's homosexuals. That's how we said it in the South, homosexuals, right? It's homos, and that's what it was about. They're all homos, and then they have the sodomite laws, which means homo laws, right? I'm just saying it like it is, guys. I'm putting it out there. I'm not scared of it. We need to talk plain to each other. We're all adults here. But what we're going to find in the scriptures tonight, that may have occurred, but that is not what was focused on in the scriptures. And it was never mentioned in King James. This is why we must be Bereans, guys. We've got to search these scriptures. Make sure what I say is true. Don't let me mislead you. Take responsibility for what you hear tonight. Research what I'm teaching you so that you can own this with Holy Spirit. All right, so let's go forward. So in Joshua chapter 18, it says, and Abraham arose and did all that God had ordered him, and he took all the men of the household and those who brought with his money, and he circumcised them as the Lord had commanded him. I'm giving you that just so you know where we're at, chapter 18. Pardon me. And Abraham ran and took a calf and a tender and a good one. Now I'm kind of going through here because I want to get I want to get to the good part here, and I got a little bit of a yappiness going. We got some disturbance in the force outside the door, it seems, and my little four-legged furry decided to let me know. That's a good job, Run Sentry Mister. Thank you for your patience in that. All right, so what the scripture is also saying, King James, it says, is the cries of Sodom and Gomorrah came up to him. The wickedness didn't, but the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah went up to him. He already knew about the wickedness. They could be wicked all day. That's not going to rise up to him, but something was amiss that got his attention beyond the usual wickedness, I imagine. So let's just go ahead and get a little wisdom. Let's get a little taste here of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what, guys, my old eyes, I'm going to have to make this bigger. So, and I don't want to miss a thing. So what he had done, Abraham had sent Eliezer let me just read it right out of the scriptures. It says, and when they had, Abraham had hastened and brought before them butter and milk and beef and mutton and gave it before them to eat. But when the flesh and the calf was sufficiently done, and they did eat. And that's also mentioned in the King James Version. So that's not just something that said also. So before it was sufficiently done, and they did eat with butter and milk and beef and mutton. And when they had done eating, one of them said to him, I will return thee according to the time of life. He's talking to Sarah, right? Now, all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, we're going to skip forward here. In those days, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, now this is in Joshua 18:11, this is where we're going to begin. I didn't highlight it properly, so forgive me for that stumbling. In those days, all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and of the whole five cities were exceedingly wicked and sinful against Yahweh Elohim, and they provoked Yahweh Elohim with their abominations, and they strengthened in aging abominably and scornfully before the Lord. So they weren't just wicked. They just kept getting wickeder and wickeder and wickeder. And crimes were in those days great before the Lord. And they had in their land a very extensive valley, about half a day's walk, and in it were fountains of water and a great deal of herbage surrounding the water. And all the people of Sodom and Gomorrah went there four times in the year with their wives and children and all belonging to them. And they rejoiced with their timbrels and dances. And in the time of rejoicing, they would all rise up and lay hold of their neighbor's wives and some the virgin daughters of their neighbors, and they enjoyed them. And each man saw his wife and daughter in the hands of a neighbor, and he said not a word. And they did so from morning to night, and they afterward returned home, each man to his house and each woman to her tent. So they always did four times in the year. Let me get a drink. So also, when a stranger came into their city and brought goods which he had purchased with a view to dispose of there, right? He comes in, a merchant, he's like, okay, pies for sale or whatever it is, wet teddy bears. The people of these cities would assemble men, women, and children, young and old, and go to the man and take his goods by force, giving a little to each man until there was nothing left of his goods and the owner which he bought into the land. Do you see this? The stranger came in, and all the men and women and children, everybody, it was their custom to go and take everything that he had. And if the owner of the goods quarreled with them, saying, what is the work which you've done to me? Then they would approach him one by one, and each would show him a little which they had taught and taunt him with it, saying, oh, I only took this little bit. And so they would rise and go in sorrow and bitterness of soul, and they would leave, right? And the city would just drive him out. They'd chase him out of the city, take all of his stuff, and chase him out of the city. Now, there was a man from the country of Elam who was leisurely going. Now, here, this is a little twisted sister here. This is a long story, and I'm going to shorten it. So there was a man from the country of Elam who was leisurely going on the road, seated on his ass, which was carried a fine mantle of divers colors. In other words, very pretty, very luxuriously colored mantle for his horse. And the mantle was bound with a cord upon the ass. And the man was on his journey passing through the street of Sodom when the sun set in the evening, and he remained there in order to abide during the night. But no one would let him into his house. And at that time, there was in Sodom a wicked and mischievous man, one skillful to do evil. And his name was Hadad. And he lifted up his eyes and he saw the traveler. I'm going to shorten this part. He says, oh, look, you know what? You have no place to stay. Come on in. Let me give you some bread and some water and some straw and provender for all this. He says, I don't need all that. I have all of that stuff. I was just looking for a place to rent to stay. It's like, no. Let me feed you. He did. He let them do it and all of the stuff. And the man took the mantle and he put it in a trunk and did the horse and all of the stuff and had his servants take care of it. So this went on for a couple of days. And every time, the man got up to go, the man from Elam got up to go, I would say, no, stay here. Da, da, da. And then finally he goes, no, I need to go. And so he says, fine. And so he gets up and he gets all of his belongings and he says, now, wait a minute. Where's my mantle for my horse? Where's the, this beautiful little drapey thing that I had in the court? Because it showed his station. And this guy, he was something. And Hadad answered the man and he said, this is the interpretation of the dream. The cord which thou seest means that thy life will be lengthened out like a cord, and having seen the mantle colored with all sorts of colors means that thou shalt have a vineyard in which thou wilt plant trees of all fruits. So he's given him this false thing. And then the guy was angry and he took him to the judge. And Hadad said, look, judge, did I not tell thee the interpretation of his dream? This is what the cord means. This is what this means. And the judge says to the man, he's given you a proper interpretation and you need to pay him. And so they drove him from the city because they weren't going to do anything. He didn't get his mantle, took it as payment. Now here's the one, the little part where the angels got up and said, whoa, okay, because God said, let's just go. We're going to get to that part. What was going on was when a person would go into the city, and if they would lay down, they would have a bench in the middle of the park. And if the person would lay down on the bench, then the men of the city would come at night and seize them by the hands and the feet and stretch him until he died or cried out. And if he died, that was no worry for them. And if he was, and then the other trick that they would have would be that if a stranger came into the city, then they would give him all kinds of silver and gold as a welcoming present. But no one in the city, by written law, was allowed to sell anything to the stranger. Well, Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to check out Sodom. And here's where the story part comes, because there's a lot of length to it. So he sent his servant to check out Sodom and Gomorrah, to check on his nephew Lot. And Eliezer was on the city, and he saw a man quarreling with another, taking his things, and he interfered with it, and the man took a stone and struck him on the head so that the blood flowed. And the gentleman that struck him on the head, this is Abraham's servant, Eliezer, the gentleman that struck him on the head said, now pay me my hire because I struck you on the head so that the evil spirit would leave when the blood flows. Whoa, got the sickness out. And the guy said, I've never heard such a thing. He goes, no, now you owe me my hire for doing this to you. And so again, Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, goes up there and to the judge. And the judge says, well, they relayed the whole incident to him, and the judge says, well, then now, yes, of course, you owe him his hire. If this is exactly the way it happened and he relieved you of this bad blood, then you need to go ahead and pay him his hire. Now, Eliezer was smarter than the usual stranger, so he took a stone and he struck the judge and he said, now pay him what you owe me. And then he left the city, which was kind of cool. But the incident that got the attention of Yahweh, where we see in Genesis, it says the wickedness cries out, was a man came into the city, and again, he was victimized, and he was not allowed by law. This was a victimization law. They, by law of the city, were not allowed to give him food or drink or sell him any food or drink or provisions in any manner. And then he would slowly die, and they would take all of his provisions and divide it amongst themselves. This is the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. And so this one woman had pity on the man. And as she was walking by, she would go to get water every day, and she would bring bread in the pitcher and give him water. And she sustained him for a whole week with bread and water by passing daily to do this. And the men of the city were questioning why it was that this man hadn't died yet. And he didn't even look unhealthy, let alone, you know, dead. And so they watched and followed her and saw what she was doing. And so they took her before the judge and said, this woman was caught saving this man's life with bread and water. What should we do? And the sentence was death. And what they did is they put her outside the city. One of them, they covered her. Well, they covered her, one of them. There was a couple different instances where they did this to women. In one instance, she was covered with honey, and the bees were allowed to have at her, that had Yahweh just freezing and saying the cry comes up was the wickedness of Sodom, was that for doing something good. That is the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. There is nothing in any of these scriptures that have anything to do with homosexual sex. Nothing in these scriptures. And the reason that Lot was so protective of those angels when they came into his house, those strangers, is because he knew what would happen if they were out on the street. And it was that cry that went out to Yahweh. It was that cry where he sent his angels for the final destruction. Those were the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Those were the sins. Am I saying that God sanctions homosexuality? I'm not making that claim at all. I'm telling you what's in the text. So the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah is having a legal system that lent itself to endemic wickedness. And the ones who were punished were the ones who were doing the right thing. The ones who were punished were the ones who were doing the right thing. The wickedness was rewarded. And so now I ask the question, as we sit back and we look on the world stage, whether it's overt or covert, has that not been it? Has that not been it? Have we not seen a systemic corruption within our own legal system, within our own governmental system, that is tantamount to the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, where people are actually expected to hurt one another to be cool? Let me clear my throat. I mean, that's what I see on the stage. Whether it's cancel culture or this or that, we are brutalizing each other just for being who we are. Just for being who we are. Just to give you the verbiage, I want to give you the complete verbiage from the book of Joshua, and it's in verse 42. And the people of those cities assembled and brought out the young woman and anointed her with honey from head to toe, as the judge had decreed, and they placed her before a swarm of bees, which were then in their hives, and the bees flew upon her and stung her, that her whole body was swelled. And the young woman cried out on account of the bees, but no one took notice of her or pitied her. And her cries ascended to heaven. That's Joshua 18:42-43. Joshua 18:44. And the Lord was provoked at this and all the works of the cities of Sodom. For their abundance, they had an abundance of food and had tranquility amongst them, and still would not sustain the poor and the needy. And those days, their evil doings and sin became great before the Lord. And the Lord sent forth two of his angels that had come to Abraham's house to destroy Sodom and the cities. And the angels rose up from the door of Abraham's tent after they had eaten. And here we are, after they had eaten and drunk, and they reached Sodom in the evening. And Lot was then sitting in the gate of Sodom. And when they saw them, he rose to meet them. He bowed down to the ground, and he pressed them greatly and brought them into his house and gave them victuals, which they ate And they, boy, there's some hungry angels, let me tell you, eating over at Abraham's, eating over at Lot's. They just got a belly full. And they abode all night in his house. And the angel said to Lot, arise and go forth from this place, thou and all belonging to thee, lest thou be consumed. Now, this doesn't say anything. This does not echo, repeat, or ditto those things of the men trying to get into the angels. Okay, so that part's not included in Joshua, but it is in the canon, in the biblical text in Genesis. So that's what we're looking at. That's what we're looking at. The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, where treachery was built into the system. Being unfair is built into the system. Now, how does that start? They didn't just wake up one day and got wicked. It says there in the scriptures here, and also in the scriptures in Genesis, it's Joshua and Genesis both in 18, you know, it says that their sins grew. They didn't start out with big sins. Their sins grew, and they were comfortable in them. How comfortable? This woman is probably screaming bloody murder, dying before their eyes, and not a one was moved to pity. That, my friend, is a seared conscience. It's a reprobate mind and a seared conscience that we hear tell of from Paul. They were not going to ever have compassion. They weren't taking care of the sick and the widows. The widows, indeed. They weren't doing it. And any stranger came in, they were a target. By law, they were required to treat strangers poorly. Can you imagine living in a place like that? Where up is down and left and right, left is right? Is that what we're heading towards in this nation? Christians, ecclesia? Sue said on the broadcast before, we cannot in any regard hold the secular portion of the nation responsible for the spiritual condition. That's our job. And we start that by knowing what the scriptures do say. And so while we're all being distracted and looking over at Homo Joe there to point the finger on and say that that's what Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed for, we don't know what we're talking about. Because when it says they didn't want to have their way with them, we see what that would have been. They would have been killed. And Lot was already in trouble just for bringing him in the house. So he was already on the line. That was a penalty of death. So a great deal was on the line when Lot brought him in the house. And that showed faithfulness. And that's probably what saved the five. Was that act of faithfulness. But if Lot had been wicked, he'd be gone too, because God's not a respecter of persons. So those are the real sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. Treachery, being unfair, wickedness, victimization, brutalizing people mentally, emotionally, physically, materially. That's what pisses God off. That's what pisses God off. How do I know? Scripture said right there, cries went up. He got mad, blew it up. You guys, you two, right there, get up, go blow it up. I'm not taking another minute of it. Not one more cry comes from Sodom and Gomorrah. And it was an everlasting punishment. It's not still burning, but it will never arise again in that shape. He didn't just flood them and let them rebuild. He didn't just give a little quake and shake and scare them up. He made that punishment for now and ever. That's how wicked that city had become. That the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's how wicked they had become. That nothing was fair. And I'm really grateful for our founding documents from our founding fathers that made sure that our law of our land is fair. Now, when we take a little bit of catapult forward to the time of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they weren't fair. God gave a law, Moses gave an expounding, and then these guys are making law after law after law after law. And I do believe that by the time Yeshua had come to Jerusalem, a fascist regime had taken root in Judea, and they didn't want to give power to Messiah, which was always probably foreseen anyway, use it to the advantage. But that's what we were looking at. Are we going to do that here? You say, Land of Grace, this is scriptural. Because it doesn't start small, it grows. And in the other programs, we talk about the grooming process. The grooming process of the adversary takes time. Wickedness, some people are just born yucky, I guess. I haven't met any personally. But wickedness grows. And because it's danker and danker and darker, the bigger it goes. As the wickedness grows, it becomes very self-satisfied and self-righteous. And I think of a line from a movie, The Devil Wears Pravda. The Devil Wears Pravda. And the line that I remember the most in the movie, of all of the lines, was given by the female lead character, the woman, Meryl Streep's character. And she said, "Everybody wants to be like us, dear." How very presumptuous, self-involved, and the things that she had to do to maintain her position. It grows. And the little young apprentice saw what's revealed in that movie through the Hollywood film, is that she saw the path that she didn't want to be. She didn't want to be on that path. She didn't want that wickedness to grow. She didn't want to be hardened and calloused and not care. That's the wickedness. The wickedness is subtle. Wickedness is insidious. Sin is contagious. It is an action. It is a belief. And it's contagious. Someone said to me the other day, if you hang around with three broke people, you'll be the fourth pretty soon. And it's the same thing. If we hang around in wicked settings and in the midst of wickedness and let it hang around with us, it'll grow. And we won't even notice it until someone's covered with honey screaming out to the Lord. It is insidious. Wickedness is. It is usually just thought to be a bad attitude or a bad habit or a bad custom, as in Sodom and Gomorrah. They saw nothing wrong with what they were doing. It was bizarre to Eliezer, Abraham's servant. It was bizarre. It would be bizarre to me to be in that situation where you know what the truth is and everybody's acting as if doing the right thing is crazy. Do we see any parallels for today? So, Sodom and Gomorrah, wickedness on the plains, it grew slowly. Over time, it was insidious, and it was contagious. The children in the town were taught those values as values. Can you imagine what kind of a psyche has to be okay with that? The molding of a youth to become that wicked. Sodom and Gomorrah. wickedness on the plains. Cry out to God. I do believe we have some definite wickedness in the land, and I do believe that we are able to flush it out slowly but surely. We're doing that. But patriots and ecclesia, we need more prayers. We need more prayers. We need more prayers to have other patriots have the strength to continue to hold the line. Spring is upon us. Birds always sing in the spring. This spring should be no different. The grass will come up and grow. The birds will sing. And we'll win this fight. But we have to remember the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, what we know now. So take it to your churches. The book of Joshua, you can find it online. You can download it for free in 100 different places. And study it with your study groups and your churches and see if it doesn't shine more light on things. And have those open discussions and teach each other. I don't know if the churches will allow this to be taught, but if it is, talk to your pastor. Sit down with a prayer group and a study group and go through these scriptures and let's find out what it is that's true, because I understand through all the rigmarole that's going on that we have more scriptures that were found, and they'll be out in publication to be talked about in the public pretty soon. So I'm looking forward to that. So the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, what does it tell us what does God require of you? You know, oh man, what is right, what is good. I mean, in Habakkuk, he says, I told you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to love mercy, to do kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? That's the rest of the scripture that was overlooked. And walk humbly with your God. That requires that we bow our head. The big battle is coming. There's a storm coming. Big storm. We have to batten down the hatches and become absolute prayer warriors. The best is yet to come, but there may be some scary stuff. We have to hold each other through it. We don't need to be like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, all out for ourselves, and then take what we can get. The programs that are coming out from this pretense of administration right now are designed by their very design, what I look at, and I've seen, you know, when I compare and contrast with historical movements, I see that this is a move to get us to be dependent on the government. And once we're dependent, we can't get out of it. We've always been robust. Let's not put the power in other people's hands. Let's keep it in the hands of God. He's the God of the city. I am your host, Leanna Grace. I hope this has been beneficial for you this evening. To learn about the real sins of Sodom and Gomorrah was the wickedness of their heart, the maltreatment of each other, the absolute disdain for anything good, and the punishment of those who were trying to do, who were trying to save a life. That life was switched. Her life was given. And it wasn't required. And the cries went out to heaven. Prayer warriors, we need our cries to go out to heaven. It's on us. The spiritual condition of this nation is on those of us who love the Lord. Those of us who follow God. No one else. It's on us to pray, to stay spiritually fit ourselves, and stay grounded in the gospel. Because some darkness is going to be revealed. And some of those that we think were good, we're going to find out they weren't. And in the end, we're going to have to take a good long look at ourselves through the lens of what really is. What really is. And we were wrong about this whole Sodom and Gomorrah thing. What else do we need to brush up on? Is there more to learn? because I know there was a whole movement based on those scriptures, and we were incorrect. Our heart was right, perhaps, but we were uninformed and self-righteous and did damage to people because of it. It's not what the scripture says in this story, in this occurrence. We have to pay attention, people, because the adversary loves to set traps. We have to stay frosty. We have to keep that shield of faith on and our spiritual fitness daily. And I have come to know this in this dark battle that we're in, that the spiritual protection that I have is contingent upon a daily spiritual fitness. Because the adversary will use the people around you. It's like, you know, I use the analogy with someone else. It's like the Matrix, you know, and the agents, the Smith agents. Now, I'm not saying that these Smith agents are going to be possessing everybody around you, but they do whisper and get their egos riled up and push them to irrational thoughts and then get them to sin. And usually it's an attack on a believer, and it's convenient. They got one person to do bad and another person to get bad done to them. And that's how the adversary works. It's just like, he works it like a prison, really. I mean, if you know anything about prison culture, right? It's kind of like that. As soon as you step out and you put yourself in a position to be blackmailed, when I was an officer on the walk, if you do one thing that inmate can hold against you, that's your job, and it's your integrity, because that inmate will own the cop after that. It's a trap. We have to be careful of the traps. We have to be careful of puffing up our own self-righteousness. And we have to be careful and to know that sin is insidious. It is an action. It is belief. It is inaction. And it is contagious. And sin is always wicked, and wickedness always hurts. Let's not hurt anymore. It is a time for healing. The lights will be coming on. We're moving from dark to light. It's time to see what's been in the darkness, what's kept us asleep. Always remember Jeremiah 29:11. What was that promise that God gave us? For I know the plans that I have for you, not to harm you, but to give you hope in a future. That's God's promise for us. Ecclesia, it's not just for Judah, it's the Northern Kingdom too. We're all one family. And until next week on Scriptures and Scuttlebutts, Monday for my MAGA Monday movie night, and then of course on Wednesdays it'll be Holistic Truth. I am your host. I've been broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, Scriptures and Scuttlebutts, the real sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, unkindness, uncaring, dispassionate, apathetic, wicked. Let's not be that. We go into this weekend, into this Sabbath. I'm reminding you too, as always, to watch for signposts, to connect those dots, to find your path, to live in love, and do something good as we learn to forgive. Till next time, good night. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you.